Would like to read from Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9. The Word of God here describes a destruction that was going to come upon the Jews because of their rebellion against God. And the judgment was going to begin at the house of God because that's where the people had a greater knowledge of what was right and wrong. And that always, every time God brings His judgment upon a nation, He always begins at the house of God. The people that ought to know what's right, the people who have been taught what's right and what's wrong, they're more accountable to God. The Word of God teaches us that to whom much is given, much is required. We'd like to read now from Ezekiel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, reading the entire chapter. The Word of God says, He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's ink horn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of God of Israel, the glory of the God of Israel, was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink horn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. I just want to pause here and let you know that the mark that was being put upon the forehead was being put upon the foreheads of the faithful saints of God that were in Jerusalem. These were people that were sighing and were crying because of the sin and the abominations that were in Jerusalem. So the one with the writer's ink horn was to go through and put a mark upon the forehead of those that sighed and cried for the abominations that were being done in the midst of Jerusalem. Verse 5 said, And to the others, that's those with the destroying weapons, and to the others he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city, and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, Defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in the pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the ink horn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. The Word of God continues to talk about the destruction that came upon Jerusalem. The main thought that I want to go to tonight is the Word of God tells us, if you look carefully at verse 9, the Word of God says, Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. I believe that that's the general attitude that always exists before a people completely turn their back on God, is they really think that the Lord is just nowhere around. And one of the expressions here is that they said, the Lord seeth not. That is, they were doing things, and they didn't think God saw them. Most of the time, if we're going to do something that's wrong, we're going to be looking around to see if anybody is watching us. Even little children do that. When a little child is about to do something wrong, how many of you have ever seen a little child that was about to do something wrong, but they always looked around to see if the mom or daddy was watching them, and if they weren't watching them, then they would proceed. Of course, with some parents, they proceed anyway because there's no concern about the parents because the parents haven't been disciplining them. But God's Word says here that the people were saying, the Lord seeth not. That is, the Lord is not watching us. And therefore, that's when the people of God tend to be most ungodly, is when they think that God is not watching them. And the fact is that God is watching. Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and this is true all the way through the Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament, that the people of God have always said in their heart, even though I doubt that they would say out loud, but they have said in their heart, God is not watching us right now. You go back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, when Eve began to partake of the forbidden fruit, if Eve had realized that God was there watching them, and if she had not been deceived, I don't think that she would have partaken of the forbidden fruit. And you come on up through the pages of history, and you find that when Achan, you remember when the children of Israel were going through Jericho, and they were told that they were not to take anything out of the city of Jericho. And I imagine that when Achan began to take that Babylonish garment and the gold and the silver, I imagine that while he was taking that, what do you think he was doing while he was taking the Babylonish garment and the gold and the silver? That's exactly right, Brother Bill. Brother Bill was sitting up there doing his head all around like this. I imagine that he was watching very carefully to see if anybody was watching him, because he would have been afraid to take it if anyone had been watching him, and therefore he was probably looking around. What he had forgotten was that even though no man might have seen what he did, he was thinking in his heart, he was imagining in his heart, no man seeth me. In fact, was imagining, the Lord seeth not. And so I think that the people of God need to be reminded that even if no one else sees what's going on in our lives, we all need to be reminded that God is watching us. Every child here needs to understand, every teenager here, every adult needs to hear and remember that God is watching everything that we do. Don't ever believe the lie of the devil that the Lord is gone and the Lord is not watching, because the reality is God is watching. Even when David went up on that housetop and looked and saw Bathsheba and called for her to come to him, I think that in that moment he doubted that God saw what he was doing. But God did see. And God brought his judgment. He brought his judgment on Adam and Eve, though they might have not thought that God was watching them. He brought his judgment on Achan. He brought his judgment on David. And all through the Old and New Testaments, every time that somebody has done something that they thought God was not seeing what they were doing, they came to the reality eventually, God is watching me. It's like Hagar said on one occasion. Hagar said, thou God seest me. That's the opposite of what people say when they're about to sin. Hagar said, thou God, God does see me. And yet the devil is telling us sometimes, nobody knows what's going on. There used to be a song when I was growing up that said, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. Well, there is someone who knows what goes on behind closed doors. No human being may know, I may not know, and no one in the church may ever see you. In fact, I remember that when I was a younger man, and I would fly to Texas or California or to other places on business, I remember that when I would fly to those places, that I was always a little less concerned about what I did sometimes, because I didn't think anybody that knew me was around. Do you understand how you can get that attitude? The thought that nobody that I know is around, that thought comes from the devil telling me and telling us all, nobody that I know sees what I'm about to do. But God does see, and God's going to take every work into judgment. Doesn't matter whether anyone else you know sees you do it. God is watching everything that we do. Go with me back to the book of Isaiah just a moment. Look at Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 15. The Word of God talks about how we sometimes, just like Achan or David, we try to hide. We try to hide from God. Adam and Eve, the Word of God says that Adam and Eve tried to hide themselves from the presence of God. Where can you go to hide from God? Can you get in pitch black darkness and hide from God? Can you go to another state? Can you go to another country? Is there anywhere that you can go and hide from God? Certainly, we know it. We know it. If I were to give you a test and ask you, do you believe there's anywhere you can go and God not see you, you would always check the right answer. But don't we, by our actions sometimes, don't we prove that we don't think God is watching what we're doing? In Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 15, the Word of God says, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? Can you answer that question tonight? Those two questions? Who sees you? And who knows you? He sees and knows everything about us. Go with me to the New Testament just a moment. I want you to hear in the book of Luke, I want you to hear on two occasions in the book of Luke that Jesus warns us and makes it very plain. He brings it to our attention that God is watching what we do, and we had better not believe the lie from the devil that the Lord seeth us not. Look first of all at Luke chapter 8 and verse 17. Luke chapter 8 and verse 17. The Word of God tells us that Jesus said here in Luke chapter 8 and verse 17, Jesus says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Nothing is hidden from God. The things that we do in secret are going to be made known. The things that we try to hide, they're going to be brought to light. The things that we think no one else knows about, and even sometimes think that God doesn't know about, we need to understand that those are lies from the devil. Look at Luke chapter 12. Jesus again in Luke chapter 12 is warning the people of God that God does see what goes on. He does bring to light those things. In Luke chapter 12, listen please to verse 2. The Word of God tells us again that Jesus is speaking and says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 2, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. So the Bible tells us, Old and New Testaments, the Word of God says that though the people of God may say, the Lord seeth us not, the fact and the reality is that God does see us. You'll turn to the book of Hebrews just a moment. The Word of God tells us about Jesus Himself, the living Word, sees everything that we do. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4 because in verses 12 and 13, there are some of the people of God that think this is talking about the Bible, but I want you to see that Hebrews chapter 4 verses 12 and 13 are not talking about the Bible, the written Word, but rather are talking about the living Word, Jesus Christ. Does Jesus know what you're doing? I want everybody to just pause right now and just think, is there anything in your life that you don't want somebody to see that's going on? Is there anything that you're doing that you don't want your spouse to know about? Is there anything you're doing that you don't want your children to know about? Is there anything that you don't want your parents to know about? Please know that God will bring whatever you're trying to hide, God will bring that to light. In Hebrews chapter 12, listen please to verses 12 and 13. The Word of God says here, now all of you know and understand that the Word of God can have reference to the written Word or the preached Word, but the Word of God can also have reference to the living Word. And in Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13, the Word of God is talking about the living Word, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4, verse 12, the Word of God says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in," what are the next two words there? "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." God sees Jesus specifically. The Scripture says that the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. And Jesus Christ sees everything that we do. And He brings every work into judgment. I think that probably the one psalm that describes the reality of God seeing everything. Do any of you have any idea of the one psalm? It ought to stand out in the Word of God. There's one psalm that talks more about the reality of God seeing everything about you. 139. I thought it was 137 myself. Turn to 139. And I want you to, we're just going to spend a few minutes right here looking at Psalm 139. Because I want you to see the great expression that's set forth here about how much God knows about you. How much does God know about you? How much does God know about you? See, I look at Brother John, I think, you know, that's an outstanding man. He looks good, he acts right, he eats right, he is in good shape, he's a godly man. Don't see anything at all wrong with him. I don't see anything wrong with him. Brother David, I don't see anything wrong with him. What I'm saying is, I don't know you. And the wonderful thing is, I'm not the one that's going to judge you. But Jesus knows you and Jesus knows me. And sometimes people look so clean, they look so pure. And Jesus talks about people like that. He says they're whited sepulchres, they look good on the outside, but inwardly they're full of dead men's bones. And so, though man looks on the outward appearance, and that was what I was trying to get across just now, I can look at Brother John or Brother David or Brother Philip and I can say and feel in my heart, with all of my heart, those are godly men. Only God knows what's going on. I've known a few men in my ministry. I would say that two of the closest ministers, pastors that I've ever known in my life, both of them, the two closest friends I've had in the ministry among Primitive Baptist pastors, they both fell, and they both were doing things that I told people who came to me and told me what they were doing. I got in their face and I told them, "You're wrong. They would not do such a thing as that." I didn't believe they would. But I began to investigate and to look and to find out that in both instances, both those men were committing adultery. Both those men were living very deceitful and ungodly lives. They would even, one of them would even preach on Sunday and then on Sunday afternoon go and be with his girlfriend and come back to church on Sunday night and preach again. That's about as low down and ungodly. That's about as deceitful, I think, as a man could ever be. But did you know that we all hide things sometimes that we don't want anyone else to know about? Or at least most of us do. And God is telling us tonight, don't think that you can hide from God. Don't believe the devil when he tells you those words that we read from Ezekiel chapter 9. Don't believe those words that the Lord seeth us not, because the Lord does see us. In Psalm 139, Brother Jerry mentioned this psalm. Look at Psalm 139. The scripture says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Does God know you better? God knows me better than I know myself. There are times that I think I'm doing things and really serving the Lord, and all of a sudden I realize, you know, I'm just doing this to be seen of men. There are times that I'm visiting that I'm just doing it to be seen of men. You understand? That's wrong. That's doing it for the wrong purpose. So David says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. That's an amazing thing, is that God knows not just what I'm going to do, but God knows what I'm going to think about. He knows what if I'm going to live 5 years, he knows what I'm going to be thinking about in 5 years. That's how much God knows about me and you. He knows our thoughts. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks right down inside the heart. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Verse 4 says, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Every word that has ever come out of my mouth, God knows it. And the Bible tells us that Jesus said that we're going to be judged by every word that comes out of our mouth. He knows everything we've ever said and the way we said it. Verse 5 says, Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Where can you go, just in summary of this chapter, where can you go to hide from God? Doesn't matter. He says in one verse, verse 12, he says, Yea, in other words, you can go someplace and you can make it completely dark. God still sees what goes on. Verse 12 says, Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Even when you were a baby in your mother's womb, God saw you right there. God was the one that was forming you in your mother's womb. So, I just want us tonight to all be reminded, how many of you already knew that God does see you at all times? See, there's not a person here. Somebody might say, you know, I already knew that. Sometimes when somebody asks me what's on my heart to preach, if I already know and I tell them, I say, well, I already know all about that. I don't have to go, do I? Well, you already know all about God seeing you. It's nothing new, but I do believe that we need to hear the warning from God. Every one of us here needs to be reminded that God does see what's going on. God does know what's going on behind closed doors. God does know what's going on in secret, and there's nothing in your life or mine that's hidden from God, and God is going to bring every work into judgment. Now let me say one more thing in closing. If you will, turn to Proverbs just a moment. Back up just a few pages to Proverbs. I'd rather go forward. We were in Psalm 139. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. And just think about this verse as you go home tonight. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. The Word of God says, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Now what does that mean? You try to hide them. You try to cover them up. You try to pretend that they don't even exist. You just close your eyes to them and pretend like that they're not there. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. In other words, if there are secret things in your life, if there are things that you have committed that you want God to forgive you of, then you have to stop trying to cover it up, and you have to confess it and say, Lord, I have sinned. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. I just want to be a hired servant. But you have to confess your sins. He that confesseth his sins, the Word of God says here, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh those sins shall have mercy. But if you keep trying to cover it up, go ahead. But understand tonight, understand that whosoever hideth his sins shall not prosper. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.